The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
On the Million Man March that just took place on yesterday. I just spoke with a friend that just returned from the Million Man March. He said it was great. I do have several other male friends that said that they just flat out were not attending the march. So, we want to hear from you. If you went to the march, let us know some of your thoughts. I did listen to quite a few of the speakers. I heard most of Farrakhan's speech, not all of it. My internet was a little shaky and I was traveling around, but I have been trying to listen to it today, so we'll bring up some highlights and also play a few highlights. So you can call in 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549-032. Press star 61 if you have a question or a comment. We would love to hear from you. So I want to, let me see, I think I want to start out. Let me just play this quick poem that a brother shared at the Million Man March. I did hear that I think maybe Farrakhan or maybe someone else uniting with the LGBT community. I hope I said that right. LGBT community. Let me open up Delta's mic. Coming at you, Delta. Hey, Delta, how are you?
Hey, how you doing tonight, Black Rose?
Oh, Delta, I'm doing just fine, just fine. We're just talking about the Million Man March. I was saying that I did have a few friends that went. I just spoke with a friend that just came in from the march. And as I mentioned earlier to you, some of my other male friends had already just flat out stated, hey, I'm not going to the march for various reasons. And even King B, who's in D.C., King B just didn't feel that it was necessary to attend the march this year. So I hope that we can have some people that will share some comments with us. Someone did send a message earlier about the march, so maybe I'll read that. But Delta, what about you? You heard a little bit of the speech yesterday, I think you said.
My thoughts here, anytime that we could get together and talk about the abuse in our neighborhood by the unjust man and also by the police and white supremacists. So any time that we could get together, to me, that's a plus. People may say, oh, ain't nothing going on, they ain't doing nothing. Hello?
Delta, I do apologize. I accidentally muted your call, so he said, I think the last thing we heard was, he said, anytime of people come together, anytime,
anytime as a race of people we can get together and talk about the unjust going on with the police and the white people and the unjust that they're doing to the black communities, even also even some of the stuff that the black community is doing to themselves. But anytime we can get together and talk about it, to me that's a plus, because a lot of people say, well, we ain't doing this, we ain't doing that, we ain't getting nowhere, we ain't doing nothing talking about it. But after a while, if we keep getting together, after a while we're going to get in unity. Where the problem come in at is we don't get together at all and talk and don't try to do nothing. We have to reason things out in our community. We got to get together. Somebody in the crowd may be the one to stir it up and light the torch and get everybody behind them. So we don't know who that person is. And we got to stir up the torch within us. What can we do to go out in the community and make it better? So I think anytime, if it's Louis Farrakhan or whoever can bring us together and we all get together like that, you know what? Ain't nobody been able to get a group of people like that together since Dr. Martin Luther King went there, besides Louis Farrakhan. So I don't care what nobody say. I think it's a good thing when he brought the people together. And then they talked about the unjust. They talked about we got to do something about it. They talked about protecting your women and your children. They talked about the Trayvon Martin. They talked about the Michael Brown. And what the people don't realize, they don't want you to talk about it. They want you to keep silent. Then, just like the Tamir Rice, they talked about that. So if we keep silent on this, this is what they want. They want us to keep silent. They don't want us to say anything. Because if we keep silent, that means nobody going to hear us. Nobody going to hear what we're talking about. Nobody going to hear our unjust, talking about the unjust things being done to us in our community. They also talked about the little black girl that the police at the pool party, how the police put the D in the back. And then also Louis Farrakhan even spoke about this a month ago. He even spoke about the little girl at the pool party. He said some of the black men shouldn't have been afraid to fight, and even if it cost them losing their lives in order to fight for the freedom of a sister. And I like what they're saying about we have to stand up in our community for the women in the community. So anytime somebody's saying they don't want to go, well, I can't help it because you don't want to go. But to me, anytime as a black race we can get together, I think it's a plus. And I think for people to come out and come against it is wrong. If you don't like what's being said or done, keep your mouth closed. And it's just like, and can I use a parable, if you don't mind? It's just like a buffet. This is what I tell people at my church. I may not agree with everything the pastor or anybody say, and we may not agree with everything Louis Farrakhan say, or even some of the other speakers. And I may not agree with everything going on at my church. But when you go to a buffet line, they have all the food is laid out on the table. And whatever you want to eat, you pick it up and you eat it. And that you don't want to eat, you leave it laying on that buffet line. So in order to say this, you know what you need when you go to Farrakhan and you listen at him. You know what you need to battle your community. You know what you don't need out of the speech. Leave it there. But that you do need, you take it and you move forward with it. And that's what we got to do, move forward. People saying we just talking, but they don't realize talking after a while gonna make a change. It's gonna make a change. And if we don't talk about it and begin to get the young folks to speak out against it, because look how the young black folks, the young black children, bought the movement. What is the black movement now going
black,
on?
Black Lives Matter.
The young folks really started that and started pushing that. And the young children said, enough is enough. I'm not going to take it anymore. So people don't realize the Black Lives Matter, them young folks, got a few laws changed. They even got the politicians talking about it. Well, they wouldn't even wouldn't have been even talking about it. So we need to wake up as a race of people and quit letting us be so divisive. And that's one thing, we got to stop being divisive.
Can I know, you're fine. That's fine. I wanted to hear what you had to say about your thoughts and reviews, opinions, reflections on the Million Man March. That's what we're talking about tonight. Now, you mentioned a few things. One thing that you mentioned was about the young people, things that the young people want to see. And that's one thing I did hear Mr. Farrakhan mention there at the march, was that the young people don't want any sellout leaders. They want some strong leaders, some people that can speak up and really stand up for what's going on, stand up and out against what's going on in terms of the killings and the mistreatment of our people. So I appreciated that. And like you said, so there are some things, it's like a buffet. You pick it up. Some things you may not want to hear or don't think are relevant or necessary or make a change, the necessary change that's needed. And for some people, because everybody's at a different level. Me, myself, I've seen Farrakhan speak a million and one times.
Black Rose, uh-huh. We got to listen at somebody. The white folks.
Well, if they're talking, if they're making sense, now we don't just need to listen to anybody. But now if they're talking,
we're not
making some good
sense. What I mean about that, let me rephrase that and let me put that in context. Uh-huh. Thank you, Black Rose. Let me put it in context. And what I mean by we got to listen at somebody. What I mean is somebody talking this, I can't use that proper word. If they're talking
serious to the issues that we did
that
with
is
today.
Correct, what I'm trying to say. If they're mm-hmm. speaking to our issues and telling us the truth and telling us how to come on board and let's make a change and let's
and
make a difference.
Coming up with a solution.
And coming
and a plan,
up with some
a strategic
and
plan.
A plan and going mm-hmm. through the community and we become mentors. Yeah, we need to learn to become mentors. And so we need to listen. We need to take some kids, young black kids in the community on our way, girls and boys, and start speaking the truth to them and telling them how to discipline themselves, how to carry themselves, and what they need to do to not be a statistic. What do they need to do to be successful? And that's what we need to be trying to do. And I don't see nothing wrong with it. And whatever Louis Farrakhan want to put out there to try to help the people, because we got a lot of nigger preachers. I just hate to say it. We got a lot of nigger preachers. We ain't going to hardly say nothing because they don't want to mess up their offering plate.
Ha, ha, ha. What do you think about Jamal Bryant? You know, he spoke. Did you get a chance to hear him speak yesterday?
No,
Reverend Jamal Bryant.
Reverend Jamal Bryant, he came out and being one of the forerunners. And a lot of people are talking against him because he's coming out being political. But he needs to be political. The white folks, we know for a fact, in their churches, when it's time for elections, they teach their people what to go out and vote against, and we need to do the same thing. So I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, what was some of Jamal's speech? Do you have some of his speech on hand? What was he saying in his speech? Because I didn't get a chance to hear.
I don't have him. Maybe I'll play a clip of his maybe Wednesday. But I do want to play just this quick little, did you hear the young brother with the poem?
I worked yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to do a lot.
Okay, so let me just play this, and then let's jump into some hot topics, and then we'll pick back up on our Million Man March reflections, reviews, and opinions. Okay, let's see. This is my song, Spoken Word. Okay, let me play this. It's just 2 minutes.
Best this or else. What does that mean? Everywhere I go, ask me, what does that mean? I mean, what do you mean, what does it mean? Haven't you seen what I see on that screen for yourself? We need justice. Then they say, yeah, we need justice, but what you mean by or else? Well, we mean justice or else we're going to withhold our wealth. We're going to give them back their Christmas and leave them toys on that shelf. You see, up to this point, we're the only ones being slaves, so it's time to exercise our power and redistribute that pain. It's insane to do the same thing and expect a different result. The same ones who made us slaves is the ones we keep asking for help. Now ask yourself, how you gonna win fighting in the court when the ones who commit the murders is the ones who write the report? All the lives we done lost, the tears we done cried, the promises was made, all the years they done lied. Ain't you tired of being tired or hearing one of us die and whoever killed them ain't guilty or don't even get tried? Cops don't even get fired for choking us on camera. Who we worried about Black Friday and taking pictures with Santa? You can't expect respect when you don't respect yourself. When the one sent to protect and serve don't protect, you gotta protect yourself. You can't expect no one else to love you more than you. So that means that all else is totally up to you. What you willing to sacrifice so your kid can have a life? Let's take Christmas from Santa Claus and give it back to Christ. And we're at tonight is a demand. This ain't a march. We're going to stand, man, woman, child, together, hand in hand. Because we understand the fact of the matter. We can't say all lives until Black lives matter. But Black lives got to matter to Black people. And the fact is, Blacks kill most of the Black people. But the difference, when they kill us, they don't let it slide. You see, Ray Ray found guilty before he even get tried. 10-15, the government is on notice. They're not going to keep killing us and have us fill up your quotas, giving us jail records instead of diplomas. That 40 acres and a mule, we're going to need what you owe us, or else.
Right, he said that's 40 acres and a mirror. We're going to need that or else. Delta, we have a caller. Let's take our call.
Okay.
Caller from 404. Welcome in. Caller, 404-226. Oh, well,
greetings. Black Rose and Delta.
Hey, Sarah, mm-hmm. How are you?
Girl,
greetings.
Well, greetings to you, ladies. Let me put this.
I'm sorry, I had you on mute. Is this better?
Okay, no problem. Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, ladies, greetings to you all. Where is Icy Hot?
Icy Hot should be calling in pretty soon. She's probably putting those boys to bed. She'll be calling in.
I guess it is getting icy hot in her neck of the woods right about now.
Yes, yeah. And King B, he's a little under the weather, so he's not going to Canty. Brother Canty. And I don't know what Brother Brown is. Oh, Brother Brown had a death. He had a friend of his passed, so.
Okay.
So he's I think he's kind of trying to help with the arrangement.
Okay. Well, we're sending those our greetings to you all. But ladies,
Indeed.
Yes, I just wanted to call in and give my 2 cents on this march. My husband went to the first Million Man March back in 1995. And everything, you know, back then it was a novelty because those of us who didn't go to the march in Washington with Dr. King in 1963, this was their opportunity to go to this march and to see it. You know, and Farrakhan was a good, you know, person at that time to give a lot of speech, and he said a lot of positive things that we could all go with. But after this march in 1995, I didn't see anything from it. All he did was he told people to go back to their communities, join a church, mosque, whatever it is that they want to join some organization, mentor in the communities and do blah, blah, blah. That's all well and good. My whole point that I have and my bone of contention that I have with a lot of people that I got into a lot of arguments with is, why are you taking this march to Washington, D.C.? What is the relevance of going to Washington, D.C. on a Saturday? The president is not in is out of town. The legislative caucus, they're not there. Nothing, no business gets done in D.C. on a Saturday. The Supreme Court, nobody's in town. You're going to get all these people at great expense, either whether it be on airline, bus, cars, or whatever means of transportation that you will take to go to D.C., just to hear Farrakhan pontificate and tell a whole lot of goddamn nonsense. You would tell that you're talking to a Baptist minister because he went and he gives the whole goddamn chronology about some damn Bible. You know, he didn't do nothing of relevance. He could have done that stuff by telecast, and you could have tuned in or do a pay-per-view, and you could have watched that, hear what the hell he had to say. Farrakhan is old. He's fast as prime. You need to hang the damn thing up, because all this running around the damn country that he did, because first of all, it went from a black people's movement to now all oppressed people. So now we invite the Latinos, the so-called Native Americans, and even poor whites who feel disenfranchised. You can come on in there too, because now we're going to open up the tent and we're going to make it an integration movement.
Don't forget the LGBT, Sarah.
Them too.
He
made it an integrationist movement. And anytime you integrate anything, you take something that is pure in nature, you integrate any foreign substance into it, it becomes weak. You become weak. Because now all of a sudden now you have all of these people converging. You see, Farrakhan lost it a long time ago when he hooked up with the Scientology department. And he started running that clear and whatever nonsense that they have to do to get audited and all this other foolishness that the nation starts doing. That was when he showed his hands back then. That's what I see, that Farrakhan has lost. He has done lost it. Because Elijah Muhammad started this movement for black people. When he started bringing in all of these ministers, the Filipinos, the Latinos, and every them, making them ministers in the nation, he lost it. It totally lost the relevance, because now all of a sudden you went from a black organization to now you want to be a people of color organization. And we always know what normally happens to anything when you make it into a people of color. That means to say the black people, you irrelevant. Go ahead, Black Rose.
No, I was just going to also welcome in Canty. He's just joining us. And Canty decided not to go also. Greetings, Canty. I'm so glad you could join us.
Hey, yeah, Canty.
Yeah, I'm fighting this bad cold, but I had to call to put my two cents in. I'm so disgusted from what I saw on C-SPAN that this farce... And did you guys notice Sharpton's people were on the podium making speeches?
Yes. Well, Tamika Mallory. Tamika Mallory was like
she had her own organization now.
A phony revolutionary. And you got Jamal Bryant. I know who's doing from Sharpton. And
Benjamin Crump.
Benjamin Crump.
Lord, Jesus. Have to nerve the labor of the attorney at war.
War, exactly.
There's only one attorney that deserved that title, attorney at war, because he had to pay a price for losing his right to be banned illegally and unjustifiably in the courtroom. That's attorney Alton Maddox.
Exactly.
And then what did Benjamin Crump say? Didn't he say he's now president of the Black Bar Association? So that lady, what's her name, Patricia?
Well, he might as well. The Black Bar Association does nothing to upset white supremacy.
Yeah, they won't even come together and do anything about Bob McCullough. And that lady Patricia, whatever her name is, she was president of the Black Bar Association right there in Missouri. I didn't hear two words from out of there.
And then you've got the Angola prison reform that is got black men living in the most inhumane conditions. One black brother was profiled on 60 Minutes tonight. He was in Angola on death row for 30 years. Wow. And the prosecutor, he went to the man to apologize. But the man
said, oh, yeah, I know. He's talking. He's dead now. That man is dead now. His name is Glenn Ford.
Yes, because he died
earlier this year.
Yeah, he had a lung cancer that just went that took his life. But the tragedy at this prison farm during slavery, it was the biggest slave plantation, and got the nerve to call it an African named after an African nation.
Yeah.
And the Black Bar Association, they dare not upset the apple cart.
Uh-oh.
And so, like, Crook might as well be head of their own position, because all they do is profile and take your money, and when I have you railroaded to jail, most inmates will tell you the biggest problem was their lawyer. Because most black lawyers, they are in this country club, and they are happy to be in this country club, so they don't want to embarrass their prosecutors in these respective areas where black people are concentrated at, with the highest blacks going to jail when the black population is not even near anything significant, but you have a higher rate of blacks in detention centers and going further upstate, or wherever they send them in the gulags in America. But the tragedy with our black pastors, they don't want to get mud on their shoes or sweat on their eyebrows or dealing with issues that black men faced by these horrible injustice systems. Then you've got the fact that now you have more black women going to jail now because of the fact that she didn't know that her boyfriend was harboring drugs. So she found out the hard way, and then she's held as a material witness for the fact that she claims she didn't know that her boyfriend was dealing in drugs. So the law don't forgive her. She's going to jail too. And there are black women who are doing time unbeknown to them. It's never questioned, well, how did you get this car, this expensive car, and it wasn't working, kind of making that kind of money, wearing expensive clothing and jewelry. She never questioned, well, how did you get this money, but now reality kicks in. He was making dirty money. But that's another story. But as far as this thing past Saturday, it was a shame and a sham.
Elaborate a little bit as to why you have come to the conclusion that it was a shame and a sham. Because I know of quite a few of my friends, my male friends, they said the exact same thing. They were like, please, I'm so not going, not even wasting my time. And then I had a handful that did decide to go. So,
yeah, I went to the first one because a lot of brothers who, like me, were serious about we make a change for banding together and for a common cause. But we noticed that there never was an accountability of how much money was raised. I was there when they used these toilet paper cartons, how big they are, filled to the brim with money. And
Toilet paper cartons?
Yes. And how big they are. There was never an accountability where the money had gone. And then you've got the fact that there was no continuity to hold local rallies to galvanize the forces dealing with the police issue, the inept, unproductive politicians that need to be thrown out long time ago. In the last 35, 40 years, black people have been misrepresented in Congress, in the local state and city elections. It's really interesting. As far as the last millionaire was, I don't know what the numbers was, but it was nowhere near what it was when it was the first one. So the Minister Farrakhan now, I had a feeling that he was going to prove me correct. Where did he get all these people of? Because they are of color. Next, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, people that...
Hey, Canty. Candy, let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back and okay. pick right back right. up there, okay? All right.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And we are back. 641-715-3660 is the number to call to join in the conversation. And just press 549032 and pound. That's the participant code. And to actually share a comment or if you have any questions, press *6 and 1. And Canton, we want to come back to you, and then I want to go back to Sarah. So she can share some more of her thoughts because her husband attended the march in 95, Candy. And then
okay,
we have
right.
Icy Hot is on the line with us. Icy Hot just joined us. Let's welcome in Icy Hot. Icy Hot. Get in the hot tub. Ow!
Uh-oh, now wait a minute. Well, thank you. I am here. And
yeah.
How are you?
I just want to say that it's good to be among some thinking black sisters that are not going for the okie doke, because we're going to need to have some serious, for those that got a ticking brain, that to understand that we're being taken for a ride, and Farrakhan is not fooling me. He's been living for years in an all-white section of Chicago. Get that straight now. You're talking down white folks, but you don't mind living amongst them. And they know that it's a hustle, so therefore they don't take you serious. The possibility that he was allegedly poisoned, I don't think that is seriously happened to him, because everyone that the government wants to poison did die. Stokely Carmichael?
David Walker Appeal, you know, that was his death was very suspicious. Mayor Harold Washington.
Yeah, that's right. I believe Adam Clayton Powell was poisoned. You know, we have, and you go by the track record of these men that was never known to be anything except straight ahead and dead serious about our liberation. You can't talk the talk and don't walk the walk. And when you're living amongst the enemy, you're telling the enemy, hey, I'll talk negative against you, but you know, I don't really feel that way where I live amongst you. So, you know, I'm really not that much of a, I'm not much at all anti-white. I'm just it's a hustle. It's a hustle. And don't forget, Farrakhan was allowed, the nation was allowed to use the organization to take down and to kill our dear brother Malcolm. The federal government had already set the poison, and they knew that there would be some members of the nation that would be willing to take down Malcolm. And their prediction was proven to be correct. Now you've got a situation where a well-known brother, who's Farrakhan's right-hand man, he's now pastoring a church here in Brooklyn. And he feared for his life, so he was baptized and converted to Christianity by the late Calvin with his books. And he's now pastoring a church here in Bed-Stuy. And no one questions, well, how does this man have the power to pull a man who was feared for his life, become a pastor of a Protestant church, never had the experience, and this man but is not known to be anything other than one that gives sanctuary to the people that is destroying Harlem. Matter of fact, I heard that his organization is terminated for dealing with the housing construction because of misappropriation of funds. But as far as
getting back to what happened Saturday, black people are in serious trouble if they think Mr. Louis Farrakhan has the answer to our prayer as far as dealing with the crisis that we're in. It is for a rude awakening. I don't think time is on our side to decipher how we've been had.
You don't think what, Candy?
Time is on our side as to how we have been had.
Oh, okay. Sarah, you was talking about pretty much you're kind of in line with Candy's feelings in terms of the march. Anything else you'd like to share, Sarah? I know Sarah has a wealth of information. Did you hear some of the speakers, Sarah? What did you think about them? Some of what they were saying.
She did.
I think Sarah made her on mute.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had it on mute. I was busy talking and it was mute.
I do the same thing all the time.
Yeah. No, but I did not listen to all of the speakers because when I saw a friend of mine had sent me the flyers of the lineup of all who was going to be on the podium, and when I saw reality stars like Sandra Park from The Real Housewives of Atlanta, they had on Tamika Mallory, Jeff Johnson, Jamal Bryant, all of them. I said, you know, Cornel West. I said, you know what? All this is showing me to me that Farrakhan have an ego about him, that he wants to show that he can still pull this crowd. He wants to show the white man that, yeah, I can bring all of these Negroes and I can bring them to D.C. He ain't got no platform. His platform was justice or else. He has not addressed not a thing in pertaining to justice or what's been happening to black people, especially with black women, children being killed by these police officers. He didn't talk about none of that. But he wanna talk, go into the Bible. I wanna rant and rave like some damn wannabe Baptist minister. If you remember Canty, our ancestor Dr. Clark is always a Farrakhan Mr. calling to become a Baptist preacher. Ever since he's been trying to become a Baptist preacher, because even though he's a Muslim leader, every damn time he opened up his mouth, you would think you listening to a Baptist minister. He talks about nothing about that Quran. And
all he needed was a choir.
Exactly. All he needs to do is get that phony, get that robe to put on. Yeah. That you see all them bishops who running around here wearing these robes. He needs his robe and his choir behind him, and then he can start swaying and start singing them old Negro spiritual. He'd be right in the room.
Yep. That's it. I mean, we are so gullible. See, black people are religious, but we're not ethical. That's our problem.
We're not ethical. It's the same candy. You can go all the way to D.C. to tell people to boycott Christmas. For one thing, black people don't always celebrate none of these damn holidays. These are the oppressors' holidays. Why in the hell, if you call yourself, why are you celebrating them? Tomorrow is supposed to be Columbus Day. Everybody will be right out here doing their Columbus Day sale. What? Let me backtrack. If Farrakhan wanted to do something, what he should have started with is in Charleston when Walter Scott got shot and killed back early in this spring by that cop. He should have started from since back then to say, you know what? We need to boycott all holidays. Started from right now until the end of the year. Black people need to do a boycott. You're going to run your behind to Washington, D.C. in October to tell people to boycott Black Friday. I don't need to take a bus trip to go all the way down. If you can tell me that. You could have done that from right up there in Chicago.
Yeah, well, lest we forget, a young girl at the time had been given sanctuary by the nation. That young girl's name is Tawana Brawley. And that minister said, you're one of ours now, and we got your back. We stand with you. We all the superlatives of giving her support. Well, Tawana Brawley right now is isolated. She told me personally she's been blackballed. She can't get a job anywhere in the area of Virginia. She graduated with honors from Howard University as an RN. She's been blackballed because the racist New York Post went to her house and they found out where she lived.
and had a posse of newsmen as if she was a future Supreme Justice surrounding her house, and when her job found out who she really was, she was fired. And right now, she could lose custody of her young daughter. So we have to pray that she will up the ante on her, because she is still not giving up the fight for justice, but I pray that she will have a change coming on for her to turn the tables on her enemy and make him become a footstool. I pray that to help my dear brother Dr. Short, something is in the wind that I hope that the family will be able to get this going for her, because she has suffered over 25 years with this nonsense. And that, you know, black women will believe those women that are accusing Bill Cosby of what he did, but they won't believe Tawana Brawley.
I agree with you on that, Canty, because I heard Attorney Officer Maddox on a show earlier today. He was going over some of the same details. And I agree with Attorney Officer Maddox 100%, because he's talking about the same thing with Farah Khan and what he did, what he promised with Tawana Brawley. And then they abandoned her. He just left her hanging out there. You know,
right.
Everything has been on Alton within which to take care of Tawana. And then nobody want to give Alton any kind of donation in order for him to. And a man has not practiced law in 25 years. So
he's living a life of poverty. Sharpton is living the life of a multi-millionaire.
Well, forget Sharpton. What Sharpton do? Because Sharpton is a Judas boat. And he sold out to get his 30 pieces of silver, which is going to end up choking his behind, because them same damn white people that he get in bed with, they're going to snap his damn skinny ass neck, because that's what they're going to have. Because if white people get through with you, when they get done with you, they're either going to kill you behind or they're going to run you into the jail, because see all them Negroes, they're dropping like dominoes now since Obama got a year left in office. All these Negroes, they're finding crap on them. And they're running their asses into the jail. They're all taking plea bargains now in order to avoid big time. But they're all going down. They are going down. And Sharpton is right there behind them to go down. So
you see how they reduced his show days to, only Sunday now.
One day.
Mm-hmm. They ease his little skinny tail right on out.
They don't need him, because like I keep saying over and over again, but Obama gets out of this White House, it's another Republican is going into office, whether it be Jeb Bush, Donald Trump, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, or whoever they can put in there, it's not going to be another Democrat. I don't give a damn what they say. Oh, it could be they could pull out Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton is not going in there, O'Malley, none of them is going into office. They are not going to get another Democrat.
And to make sure that a Republican will get into office, and black people got no one to blame but themselves. When the Republicans stole the election from Al Gore, black folks knew in Florida and knew the Congressional Black Caucus, everybody knew that it was a setup to make sure that George W. would be the next president. They threw thousands of black ballots out. Thousands of blacks were not allowed to vote, told them they were former inmates, so therefore they couldn't vote. And there was not a whimper from the black clergy, the black politicians, not a whimper of protest.
It's not only that, Canty. You can't just blame them, because you've got to remember when they went on Congress and the Congressional Black Caucus, they stood up there, and they were going to force the United States Supreme Court, when they make that decision within which to declare George Bush the president. Al Gore is the one who stopped it. Al Gore stopped that recount. So Al Gore was in on it. So you can't blame the Congressional Black people, because Al Gore was the one who stopped it. They were for the money, because right after that, Al Gore went up and he owned Current TV and all this other stuff. He got big time wealthy right after he stopped that count.
Yeah, Al Gore, as quiet as it was kept, Al Gore was always a closet Afrophobic, and they're the worst kind, because you believe the person is a nice guy and is fair, but not knowing that the person is a closet Afrophobic when you need him the most to stand up. If Al Gore had used black people as a centerpiece for claiming his seat in the White House, he would have been in the White House. But there was no concern for Al Gore to use the stolen election from blacks. When he would have swung, don't forget, two states are the swing vote states, Florida and Ohio. And those two states...
It's not only that, Canty, not only Florida and Ohio. if you lose your own damn state in a presidential race, then your ass is sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he
lost Arkansas, which is his Bill Clinton home state, and he lost Tennessee. So if
that's
you can
right.
carry them two damn states, you're sorry as hell. Because between right. them two states, they had more than the 25 electoral votes that he got that was coming from Florida.
Yes. And by him not having the guts to stand up for the idea of the democratic process, he allowed Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices, including that doggone Clarence Thomas, to go by the script that they were going to let George W. become the president, not the American people, the Republican appointees, judges. So what we suffered in that fateful election day was a solid coup. That's all it was, a coup. And if they got away with it, if the Republicans were allowed to get away with it, then what's the stop from getting away with it?
We need to stop saying Republican, Tennessee, and Democrat. This was a capitalist move. It was a capitalist move where all of these parties were colluded in order within which to do what they have. It had nothing to do with whatever tags they put in front of their name. They all colluded. The white people colluded to say this is what they want, and they decided to do that because, as I said, Al Gore was in on this because when he lost his state of Tennessee and he didn't carry Arkansas, which would have put him over the top, and he couldn't give a damn about Florida. George Bush would have taken Florida. He would have still would have had enough electoral college votes.
That's right.
That showed his sorry behind right there. So, and then when he went there on the floor, on the Congress, the floor, and he stopped them when they were going to protest and call for that recount, and he came up in there, and he stopped that recount. He said, no, you didn't want a damn recount in Florida. So it showed that he knew he was in on it, and he knew what the hell it was doing, because right after that, he became a multi-millionaire 7 times older when he went and he bought Current TV that he ended up selling to Al Jazeera. That's no part of Al Jazeera Network.
Mm.
He made big money.
Oh, boy. It's just amazing. Well, you know, like these fascists who are running amok in this country, posing as Republicans, you notice most of these reactionaries are coming from the Deep South, where most blacks forgot the history. What caused these Republicans become, who were once Democrats, what made them switch parties to become Republicans? And black people got to always remember, and some have forgotten. When black people won the right to vote, and the Civil Rights Act, mind you, it wasn't a bill, it was an act. That means it has to be voted on every 25 years for us to have the right to vote. They have to, it was a stampede out of the Democratic Party. It used to be called Dixiecrats. And they became Republicans carrying the same venom of hatred for blacks. Their Lord and Savior was Ronald Reagan, and they used to call them the Reagan Democrats. And Reagan promised them the sky, the moon, all that. And they ended up worse than what they were. It had been a Democratic president, but out of that, these Reagan Democrats who became Republicans, they were hell bent on believing that they were going to put blacks in their place. So when Obama won the White House, what did this congressman from Kentucky said? Connor said, "We're going to make sure he's a one-term president."
Obama didn't win anything. Obama was elected and put into office, and these people decided to use race baiting to get us distracted. While they went ahead and they hijacked every damn thing, and they corporatized everything, and they privatized everything. So while we are busy fussing, and we are here trying to defend the president, saying, "Oh, they're being racist, they're going after the president," are we overlooking what the president and the people who put him in power is doing by using him as a mascot? We lost focus, and every doggone thing has been hell bent. Because now that you see Vladimir Putin, that white Russian bear, he is checkmating all the asses. He went in there and he checkmated all them, and he went there and he said, "You know what? Enough is enough." He said, "Y'all are not going to destroy Syria." And he said, "We let you get away with Afghanistan, Iraq, and then you call Yemen and Libya."
And
he stopped it. He said, "No, you're not." He said, "I don't care who is president, who's going to be president of Syria." But he said, "You are not." He said, "What you're doing there, you're destroying the infrastructure." And he called it out because, I don't know if you watched the 60 Minutes piece, with that racist Zionist where he tried to and what I like about Putin, you know, that's one white man that I can say that I know where he's coming from, and I can play poker with him because that man keeps a straight face. And he looked at them and he said I know exactly who it was who overthrew the Ukraine, who the players were. He said, I got everything. He said, I got the names. He said, yeah. He said, the U.S. was involved. And then Charlie Rose was going to try and bluff and said, I'm telling him, well, are you sure? No, seriously, you're going to charge. You're going to talk to the head of the KGB. Who's to run the damn KGB? And you're going to ask this man if he knows what the hell he's talking about. You're going to be damn crazy.
You know,
He is not playing with them at all.
This man, he got video. He know exactly who it was who did what he did, because like he told him, he said the worst thing that ever happened to us was when the Soviet republics got dissolved. He said, because for one thing, we had over 25 million Russians that didn't have no borders. All they know was they had a large, big country made up of these 16 republics, and the minute that they had dissolved it, you had Russians was in places like Tajikistan, Georgia, Ukraine, whatever, all over these places. And all of a sudden, they were countryless. They had no country.
They use the big, powerful superpowers. They use NATO as a means to dismantle Russia, and thought that Putin would be their trump. And said, "Please don't do that. I'll behave. Just tell me what my cut is, and I'll give you all no problem." Putin said, "I am not playing your game."
Exactly.
Not at all.
Canty and Black Rose. These Russians have said, you know what? This man is a straight shooter. He's a former KGB. He know the whole inside operation. This man got cut cards that he can pull, and he know what's going on. That's why when he came in there, he already had the stuff laid out. And when he went in, he started dropping bombs, and within 1 week, he got rid of all of them damn ISIS people. The United States couldn't get rid of shit in over two goddamn years. And Putin came up in there and got rid of all of them in one damn week.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yes. See if Delta has her hot topics ready. Delta, you have any hot topics for us? Delta, are you on mute, Delta? Okay. I don't know what happened to Delta. Delta. Even Sarah don't know how she falls asleep.
Well, it's Sunday. She probably had two services today. She went to church today, and she probably tired.
Oh, yes, honey. She went and got her Jesus today, so she probably is so worn out from church and learning so much, though. Well, I say hi. What about you? What are your thoughts on the 2015 Justice for a Million Man March? Were you able to hear any of the speakers?
Well, I did hear a little bit of it. And man, when I saw Benjamin Crump up there, I was like, "Oh,
oh yeah."
So I just kind of knew where it kind of was from that point.
Uh-huh.
I must say, I was disappointed.
Hello, Aja.
Uh-huh. Hey,
Aja. Hey, Aja. Welcome, man. Hi, Aja. Hey, everybody. Thank you.
Hi, Aja.
Hi. So what were you, I didn't listen for personal reasons. So, what about Benjamin Crump's speech did you not like?
It wasn't that I didn't like it. It was a very
good speech. You were disappointed. What was the disappointment?
I was disappointed about the Million Man March.
Oh,
okay. The speaker, the podium. And like I said, when I saw Benjamin Crump up there, like we've been saying, these people don't need just money. We need some people that will go for these people really being dealt with for these criminal attacks on people.
Mm-hmm.
They're criminals. They should be treated like criminals.
Mm-hmm.
When they're murdering up people. And what they do is slam some money down and say, that's it. And that's
exactly
all these people are worried about, like the Benjamin Crump. You know, I know he's a lawyer. That's what lawyers do. Get that money. Get that money.
Because
it makes them rich.
Attorney Maddox says something about the dean of law school at Howard University. He was still dean of law school, and then Charles Hamilton Houston. He admonished his students to not be social parasites, but to be social engineers. Today we have too many black lawyers that are social parasites, and Crump is the chief kingpin of being a social parasite. Every time there was an atrocity in the wake of what happened to Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, there was Crump doing all the talk in front of the cameras, but no working in the courtroom. Don't you know there's a law that if you found that you lied about your income, you could be sent to jail until the jury decision, whatever that is, you can be still held in jail. But while the trial's going on, you can be remanded in jail if they find that you lied. Zimmerman lied to the court about his income. He had mega bucks in his checking account. But because Crump didn't file this it's a legal terminology that you use, but it's in basic essence is that when you lie about your income, it can be
but Canty, he did not do proper disclosure, because any attorney knows that you're supposed to investigate any opposing side to see to make sure that whatever they put on paper that it's actually so. And it was not a fake of them alone to just go contact the IRS, contact the state to get a disclosure of the financial asset. He did not.
Why he didn't do it? Because he was a social parasite. A social engineer would have done that, but not a social parasite. He is the typical essence of a social parasite. The man has no morals. He has no ethical values. He is a man that looks for money wherever he can get the money from. And like this lawyer representing the family of Sandra Bland, that's a social parasite. You're telling me that you're going to let the figures come out there, that how you're going to sue that area of Texas where Sandra Bland was next.
Waller County.
Yeah, but there's no concern about getting those officers from the people who sent her to the ground to the where she was held in a ransom high ransom bail. You're talking about there was no concern about this lawyer going for justice for the family, and I thought the sister of Sandra said, "Uh-oh, here comes trouble."
When I saw the sister, I'm like Mother Hattie. When I saw Benjamin Crump, when I saw Trayvon Martin's mama, who, Lord knows, when I saw her, and when I saw Sandra Bland's sister, I just was like, oh, Lord, Jesus, I just shook my head. But Benjamin Crump, when I saw him, I was like, oh, God, not Tweedledee, Tweedledum. Please.
Oh, no, not Tweedledee, Tweedledum-dum.
Benjamin Dump. That's what I like to call him. Instead of Crump, Benjamin Dump. Because this man,
he can't even speak.
No, he can't speak. He can't speak.
No.
We need to get up and get the justice for Trayvon and come together and justice for everybody.
I'm a fart ass nigga. Crump. So my family and John Crawford's family from Ohio. Those are the only two families who decided that, you know what, we're not going to go on this money train. We're going to try and get justice the best way we can for our loved ones' death.
Let's just take a quick break, Sarah, and then finish up this up as soon as we come right back.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Okay, and we are back. And, you know, there's a clip on YouTube. I may play it tonight before we end the show. A couple of clips where the Honorable, and I like to call him the Honorable Dr. John Henry Clark, peace be upon him, he slams Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. He calls Farrakhan a con man and says that he knows about all the cons that Farrakhan has played. So, we can pull that up on YouTube. I may play it tonight. We'll see. But Sarah, you were sharing some thoughts with us.
No, what I was saying is that what made this add insult to injury, you know, with Farrakhan getting up there pontificating and talking, giving us Bible lessons, is that on the same day when they're talking about their justice or else rally, the Cleveland Police Department, the district attorney, they decided to release that Tamir Rice, the killer of him, was justified in killing him. So white people don't ever miss an opportunity to slam over behind whatever we're doing. So Heritage, you have a big rally, justice for us. Now what the hell are you going to do about that? That injustice is just took place on that Saturday. They made sure that they put that out there to say, oh yeah, we had two independent agencies that came back and said the cop was justified in shooting down this 12-year-old child with a BB gun. So here we go.
Imagine.
And then that cop get his feet out of the car. And then, Sarah, you know they're paying that cop back $116,000 back pay.
Yeah, the one in North Carolina. Yeah, that killed Jonathan Farrell.
Yes. I couldn't think of his name. Is it Lowman? Is his name Lowman? I believe it is. I'm not sure.
Lowman is a cop in Ohio that killed Tamir Rice.
Okay. Lowman is the one. Okay.
Now, you imagine that.
Yeah, the one that killed him in North Carolina.
It was Carrick.
Yeah, Carrick is the one in North Carolina that got money. So you see how these people, how they're playing, you know. He killed somebody, and then he ended up getting money. And if I was the Farrell family, you need to do a civil suit after this person and make sure you don't get that damn check. That's what they need to do. They need to block it in place so that he don't get that damn money. Because
exactly.
It don't make no sense that you killed this woman's child, and then now you're gonna file a suit for wrongful termination, and you end up getting all your goddamn money.
Right.
Well, the problem being, they probably already sued the city, and I bet that was one of the caveats to it.
If they sued the city, why is a suit against a personal injury lawsuit against this cop? That's who they're going. They're going against him personally, not the city. They should be able to do both, just like with O.J. Simpson, because we're still paying 20 damn years later, because all this crap happened in the month of October 20 years ago when O.J. Simpson got off. We're still paying for O.J. Simpson 20 years ago. These damn people are making black people pay for that, for him getting acquitted of that murder of those two individuals. So they should be able to go civilly after this cop to make sure whatever money he got, that they're able to get that money.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, it's always different for us. That was a white family. You know, the laws always change for us, Sarah.
Yeah. You see,
but we need to try. Sometimes we don't even attempt.
No.
I agree.
If you have lawyers that are social parasites, they're not going to do the right thing just to see the fact that an attorney like Altomatic, he automatically would have done just what you said, to make sure it's on the right track for getting justice.
I've had my differences with Attorney Maddox. Overall, the brother has paid a heavy price for being true to the calling of upholding the Constitution and not exploiting his client. He get paid, but his client is railroaded to jail. He
exactly.
99% of the time, he don't even put his client on the witness stand. He has to witness for the prosecution be cross-examined, and when he gets him cross-examining him, he can show the jurors that his client is innocent.
But that's the whole point in a trial. If you are the defense, it's up to the prosecution to prove their case. That's the problem a lot of us. We try and we make the case for the prosecution. You are innocent until proven guilty. The prosecution is up to them to provide a burden of proof that you are indeed guilty of this crime. So therefore, why the hell should I get on the goddamn witness stand and give testimony on myself? It don't make no sense.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
But I agree with Arthur. Don't put him on the damn stand.
That's right. Because he said the reason why he won't do it, when the jury see your face carried a badge of slavery.
No, he's not guilty because you're black and you already got a guilt on you.
Yeah, black lawyers were never trained to defend black clients. There was no need to have a lawyer for black people to enslave because we were slaves. The first lawsuit, William and Mary College, they had no concern about lawyers for black people because we were slaves, so we were insignificant. We were considered subhuman. Chief Justice Raymond Taney, when he handed down this decision for the Dred Scott decision, before he handed down officially to turn down Dred Scott's demand for back pay for free labor, he said black people have no rights that a white man needs respect. And most blacks, not knowing their history, have to understand between the Dred Scott decision and the Reconstruction period how this government has never intended to do right by us. And see, white people, as Attorney Maddox also says, white man speaks bilingual, legally and military science. Legally is the thing with a natural law. Military science is targeted. White people talk another language that black people don't understand, that when these white folks get amongst themselves, this cold talk of legalese or military science, they know that black people don't understand when these white men talk that never talk. But they take their own belief in natural law. You let a black cop kill a young white boy. I don't care if that white boy had a ton of submachine gun. You let a white cop shoot a young black boy 12 years old in the head without even demanding drop your weapon, show me your hands, drop your weapon. That cop never gave that command to young Camille. He just got within three seconds, that cop had fired on that boy and killed that boy in cold blood.
They forgot to talk with John Crawford in Walmart. Said the boy was on the cell phone walking around the store talking, and he got ambushed. He got ambushed and got them out. He was shot dead on his damn cell phone.
Yeah, and it wasn't in that part of the country. It's on the law books. You can have open weapons. Carry open weapons. So out of that, he was in the aisle talking on the cell phone. The cop didn't say, drop your weapon or show me your hand. He just summarily was executed right in the store over a racist cracker calling the wrong thing, a black man is in the store terrorizing people with his gun. They didn't care about talking to this man and getting him to listen to the order of drop your weapon or show me your hands. Nothing. He was killed instantly. So, like I said, they have two sets of laws, one for black and one for white. Mm-hmm. And until black people realize not only the fact that two sets of laws, but until we realize that we've never had legal or political protection. Now, the best days of our lives are during the Reconstruction. The worst days of our lives are still going through this mess is post-Reconstruction. We never recovered from post-Reconstruction. We never recovered. So we really had the days of Reconstruction. Black people didn't want to believe Martin Delaney when he prophesied that the government was going to take it away from us, our Reconstruction right. They told Delaney, oh, you crazy, this government was doing it to us after all we suffered during slavery. And when they realized how correct Delaney was and how wrong they were, it was too late.
And it's not only their candy. Our situation is
situation is much worse known because these Negroes think they're so highly educated that they think they can live amongst white people and they can sit and marry them and have sex mm-hmm. and all this sort of crazy stuff. They think that what happened to us 150 years ago is not going to happen. And
that's
that is
right.
what's going to suck it to their behind real hard and real heavy because we're going to become just like them Jews during World War II. They're infected with the Germans that they were Germans and they were not Jews. But when they start rounding up their asses and putting them on them trains and shipping them off to them concentration camps, that's when they got their wake-up call. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of us because we're in a far worse position now because we are willfully ignorant. We don't want to know what the hell is happening. We are in a post-racial, race-neutral society.
Yes.
That's what we're thinking right about now.
Anytime you can steal an election and blacks are caught up in the middle of it where we were the swing vote, and they made sure blacks was done it. And most blacks forgot. How is it possible Jeb Bush, the brother of George W., who blacks were voting in record numbers in Florida because he had betrayed the blacks, he had a meeting with the black pastors in Florida because blacks didn't come up for Jeb Bush during the primary. So he had a meeting with the leading black pastors and said, please go back to your respective congregation and have them understand that I want to be a fair governor to all the people of Florida, so please vote for me. I want to be a fair governor. So they didn't make no concession demand, as they always do. They never make concession demand. And they went to the respective congregation, and you know how these preachers talk. Give everybody a chance. Everybody deserves a chance. And black folks came out in pretty good numbers for the general election. Jeb Bush got into office, and guess what he did? In 3 months' time, he voted to destroy affirmative action. Black folks in retaliation said, we'll see you in November with your brother's election. So he knew blacks was coming in record numbers to vote against his brother. Black people didn't want to believe that Jeb Bush had a master plan up his sleeve and he had his stooge named Christine Harris to pull it off. And the mainstream media is part of the problem. These journalists who swear to journalists, I swear to anybody who can hear my voice, most of these people you see talking heads on TV, they're nothing less than overly paid stenographers. That's all they are.
But even with all of that, Canty, you know, our problem is that we focus too much on the goddamn part, electoral part of politics. That's what we focus on, and you have no control over the electoral part of politics. And this is what irritates the hell out of me with black people because we always want to blame ourselves and keep saying, okay, it's our fault because we didn't go to the polls, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. I don't see no Arab, no Chinese, no East Indian, none of them standing long-ass flyway to cast a goddamn ballot. But look at where they're at. They got all of these Koreans and Chinese and everyone at all these rich shops, dry cleaners, hotels, 7-Elevens, donut shops. They got all of this goddamn stuff. They're not standing no damn line. So we need to stop blaming ourselves to say that because we didn't vote, because we waste too much damn time on electoral politics. We waste too much time on it. You cannot control that because, like I said over and over again, when you have an electoral, when you have a machine that already comes to your polling place and you don't know what the hell is on that damn machine.
We don't know where that machine comes from. Who owns those machines?
Who owns it? What's on the machine? Devo, which is a company that owns by Mitt Romney's son, half part ownership in Dymo, and that's the machine that you use to vote on. So you
and they found
what the hell is on that machine?
And they found that the modem is tamper friendly. Imagine that the modem is tamper friendly. So you know, like the Republicans got away with it before, and if they want Trump to get into office, they're going to do just that: steal a second election. And what can black folks do except go out in the street and be arrested because they are not going to allow blacks to have it their way where the election will be overturned and there will be affairs.
No, we need to stop focusing.
Once again,
like I said before, if we are 30 or 50% of this damn population, what in the hell do you think we control? So our finances are in shambles. We don't need to financially control any kind of institutions or anything that we financially control. Are we busy running behind a goddamn electoral ballot? That's the problem with a lot of us. This 60s movement has got black people stuck into this thing of voting that you're going to vote your goddamn way out of oppression. You're not. You are not going to vote your way out of this damn oppression. every other ethnic group. Look at these damn Chinese. These Chinese have been here. They're on Chinatown and all over the goddamn United States. They're financially trapped. You don't see these people running out here, standing in lines, waiting to cast a ballot. I have been, in my years of voting, I have never seen no damn Chinese, no Arabs, none of these other ethnic groups standing in line like I see black people. Black people act as if though this is their final solution to everything. It's the vote.
Yeah.
And it is not.
See, there is no one.
That's what's always preached to everybody. We got to get out. Every time somebody is killed, we got to get out and vote. And
sure do.
I was in the car driving today. In the car this morning, and Al Sharpton's show came on, whatever the local station is here, yeah. And there he go. Yeah, we gotta get out and vote, and we gotta do this, and then we're gonna go and vote.
And then what?
Really? Right, and then what, Sarah?
I'm gonna ask you finish voting, because a lot of us, we go here and then we vote, and then you don't ask for a damn thing afterwards. The problem is that you need to have something lined up in front. Because everybody else have their stuff lined up like these days. They made them like a fact under Barack Obama. Don't tell repeal. They got their right to get on to civil unions.
That's right.
And they didn't run to the damn polls and vote. What they did is they used their goddamn money. That's what
Money talks.
Fight them about That's what they
did. That's right.
For black people,
and Sarah.
With your brother,
Sarah. If you know, let me just interject this quickly. But just like what you said, on a Saturday, black folks always running to D.C. on a Saturday. Those gay people and anybody else that's against anything else, when they're serious about it, they're going to take their ass to the Capitol on a Wednesday. They're going to go during the middle of the week. They're going to when people are session. Always running to D.C. on Saturday. On fucking Saturday. Always.
Exactly.
And the gay people, they take this, and that just goes to show, number one, you broke black asses, just like you were saying. Don't even have enough. You can't take off for work during the week. Most of us can't take off for work during the week.
Every day of vacation they do in the week.
Yeah, and so we're running up there on a Saturday when nobody's there. And so, therefore, people, they're looking at us as, y'all not even serious because you're not even making a sacrifice. You have not gotten
together.
You have not organized yourself so that you can get your ass here on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday and really handle your business and let your, voice be heard.
Did y'all notice no one from the podium were members who represented the Congressional Black Caucus? Now, am I wrong or am I correct? There was no representation. There was no member of Congress from the Congressional Black Caucus.
Honey, and then they said Obama went to California. He probably was sitting right back in that little White House looking at everybody.
But he has shown that listen, anyone who's close to Sharpton is bad news. He is close to Sharpton. So therefore, he has utter disdain and contempt.
But Valerie Jarrett and all of them, they made sure that they high-tailed it behind and they got it on time. She's back up in Chicago, wherever the hell they ran off to for the weekend, because they said they're not going to be around these damn Negroes, because already they made it a point of this president to show that you are not going to show anything, any affinity for black issues, because we don't want to paint you as a black candidate. And we don't want to upset these white people who give you money and put you into office. So you're going to try and distance yourself from as much of these black people as possible. Once a year, we're going to allow you to go to the Congressional Black Caucus dinner and make a derogatory speech. You're going to go to the Urban League. You're going to go to the NAACP. And you're going to say these
things
that's going to write for you.
How crazy,
right?
And you're going to tell them niggas they're lazy. You need to get up off their ass and put you to tell them.
Right.
Take off your house
shoes.
Exactly.
Sarah, take off your house shoes and put your marching boots on, Sarah.
Exactly.
You need to take care of your children and all that old shit. Like
these are the speeches that we're going to give you to tell these Negroes once a year when you go down there and you try to act like soul brother number one. That's what you
listen. Farrakhan wouldn't even admonish those parents who had their children there to boycott the money that was spent for Halloween. I said,
he jumped all the way to Black Friday instead of talking about this damn devil holiday that's coming up right now.
I mean, like, Black people don't even know the origin of Halloween. It's from the days of the medieval period, where if you was a bad person, you would have your mask painted on a window or a door so that your spirit wouldn't haunt that village or that village where you live, because they were so frightened of your spirit. Halloween is back in the days of the medieval period, but wherever Halloween, whatever holiday they made the slaves celebrate, but they always knew that Black people never questioned nothing about these holidays, especially Halloween, Valentine's Day. Who the heck was St. Valentine? A priest defied the Roman Emperor like a clicking of.
You know, we don't even have to go all that far back, Canty. You know, you're just going to take these Jews and recent history. They're not going to celebrate Adolf Hitler's birthday or Harmon Göring's birthday.
All right.
You ain't going to see no Jews running around there with no damn swastika on and no German flag. Hitler's birthday. You ain't going to do it.
Right.
But you see these damn black people running around here, they're drinking green beer for St. Patrick's Day. You know, Columbus, with the Italian flag, or eating spaghetti, all this kind of foolishness.
Oh, and pinching people because they don't have on green at work, that's so silly.
You know.
So stupid. You don't have on green.
Yeah, and to this day, the Hibernian Society never apologized to black people for the lynching of Bepi Rex in Lower Manhattan during the draft riot. Irish couldn't afford to pay $500 to keep them being drafted into the Union Army. So there was the media, back then, the media, goading on the anger of the Irish people in the Lower East Side. They asked them, how you feel about blacks going to take your job if you go to fight for them to be free? And they were so angry. There was riots. They were lynching black people, burning out orphanages. That's the reason why black people were forced to leave the Lower East Side and moved to Midtown called Hell's Kitchen because of the trash riots. I thought that's why they moved to Midtown. And most of your well-known churches in Harlem, they were in Midtown Manhattan. But because of black people not knowing the history and forgot the history, there was a reason why blacks had to move from the Lower East Side, because of the lynchings and the burnings and the horrible catastrophe that came on with the Irish trash riots. Took place when I was angry that they couldn't afford the $500 to pay for being drafted. So, you know, like, we as a people need to understand that we are our own worst enemy, because we cater to these ecclesiastical pimps called pastors who do nothing except fatten their coffers and take home their bag of pot of gold while your community is being surrounded. Listen, I live in the periphery of Bed-Stuy. I mean, Fort Greene, but Bed-Stuy and Fort Greene, you'll see it everywhere you turn. No more vacant lots, no more vacant buildings. They're either being built by Mexicans or they're being renovated by Mexicans, but they're building condos every which way but loose in Bed-Stuy. And none of these pastors have nothing. They're clueless. They're clueless as to how they're going to deal with this gentrification of Bed-Stuy, where black people are being forced out of the community because the unscrupulous landlords are raising their rents, they're causing damage, vandalizing their property to force
them
to leave.
It's not only that, Canty. Look at what's his name, Charlie Randall, who's getting ready to retire next year. His district is being gentrified right now, and they probably are not going to have a black congressperson represent that area.
Harlem is being known.
District, his area. They're resisting Charlie Randall.
Check this out. Harlem has become known as the most expensive piece of real estate on the island. Imagine that.
You were sharing with me some of the rents in Harlem.
Some
of those rents. That's just extortion and exorbitant. And
for a one-bedroom, a decent one-bedroom, can cost you over $3,000. Buying a brownstone in Harlem.
We're complaining about 800 down here. Oh my gosh.
A brownstone that's already renovated, it can cost you over $3 to $4 million. You gotta put in at least $2 million for these brownstones to make it look like it's a state-of-the-art interior as well as exterior, including the air conditioning. So only people who can afford that kind of money are white folks who are now taking Harlem. But see, black folks never owned Harlem. They were just leasing.
Wow.
For a two-bedroom in Harlem, it can cost you over $300,000. This is a condo type building.
A condo.
Yeah. Because these private buildings, these private buildings really go as far as $5,000, $7,000. But it is out of the question, can black people afford such outrageous
rent? Wow.
And these little things, as a matter of fact, go see the film, you guys. It gives you the mindset of how severe the homes are being destroyed. And the real estate developers, the federal government with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the banks, the film is called 99 Homes.
I know my sister, she lives not too far from North Trent Avenue in Brooklyn.
Oh, boy.
And she have a one-bedroom. And I don't know what she did, because I never asked her what she played, but I just know that whenever I go to New York, I always make it a quick trip up and get my behind on back, because I don't like staying there. I have a brother that lives out there too, in Queens. I do not like New York. You can pay me to live out there.
It has become a forced evacuation of blacks, and blacks that know the brains of themselves, because we let ourselves be bamboozled by these non-productive pastors and politicians. That Charlie Rangel, he has always been never a congressman representing the interests of black people. He has always been a political plantation overseer. That's all he was, and all shall be. And it's just unfortunate that all those pastors in Harlem, not one has the guts to try to deal with the fact that they need a small person who could emulate the spirit of Edward Clayton Powell Jr. to take this man down. So now they got a guy named, he's a state senator right now, his name is Percy. He might just run for Adam Powell's seat. But I haven't seen no sign that Perkins would be any different, because for all this time he has never denounced Charlie Rangel in person, in public. All right, and so,
well, like I said, you know, you just said that, like I said, can't be with Charlie Rangel, because from what I heard, that their movements just took all the way up into Riverdale. And you know, and with all of that stuff going on there, white people, one thing with white people, they're going to represent themselves. They don't want no Negro up in here to represent them in Congress.
No.
So as it stands right now, none of these Negroes ain't talking about what the hell is going on in New York. They're going to wait until the last damn minute, because Charlie ain't running no more. He out of office come the end of his term. So whoever gets ready to run, they're going to be the ones scrambling. Now this Negro ain't said not a mumbling damn word about the regentrification, the redlining of his district. He said nothing. Because he don't give a damn. He don't give a damn. All he concerned is, after his 30 years, he's going to get his retirement, and he's going to take his ass to the Bahamas or wherever the hell he got his damn condo, and kick up his damn heels.
That's right. I mean, it's so clear what's going to happen to us that it bothers me that we are needlessly setting ourselves up for the final solution. Needlessly,
well, when we know a lot of the gentrification is taking place right here in Houston too, Canton and Sarah, like in Third Ward, the black people, like you said, Canton up there in New York, they're being priced out. There was a few townhomes that were built, apartments and townhomes that were built initially for low income mothers, but of course now white people want to move into Third Ward because it's now the hip area, and so they want to move into Third Ward, and so all these condos are being built and all these warehouse townhomes and condos and all of that.
Yes.
And they're building their coffee shops and the little, you know, smoothie shops and bagels and all of that. And putting them right there. I mean, it's such an insult. Putting the little stores and all that right there on Dowling Street, where Carl Hampton was assassinated, right in the same little block. And the thing about it is, these people have lived over there for years, like the old people say. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if you go in the third ward, all you hear is black people complaining about, oh, I remember it was the time when white folks couldn't walk down the street. They couldn't walk down the street with their dog in their hand because we take that dog from them and da-da-da-da-da. Well, what the hell are you doing now, though? I mean, nobody's really trying to, it doesn't seem like it. Now, I do know that a lot of black people, a lot of the black contractors are not able to secure a lot of these contracts so that they can go in and redevelop. But, I mean, I'm like, what the hell is Sheila Jackson Lee doing? And then we have, what, like four black men running for mayor here next month? I'm not voting for neither one.
Exactly.
Guess what? In Sunnyside right here in Houston, and Asha can attest to this, you're going to Sunnyside, your ass better be careful driving and hope you don't, your car don't fall over in one of those ditches because they don't have any sidewalks.
And so, no sidewalks.
No sidewalks whatsoever. None whatsoever. No sidewalks.
And so, you have a yard and you have a ditch and you have the road.
Every house is like that. You get a big ass ditch on the side of your house. So, you know, it's just ridiculous on the side and in the front. Okay. And so it's like, okay, what are all these Congress people? What are they doing? Let's take a quick break, and I want Mother Hattie to read our Women United statement when we come back.
I got to go.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Candy.
To the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Yeah, and so as I was saying, like in Sunnyside, right here in Houston, which Sunnyside is supposed to be one of the poorest areas in Houston, Texas, and I mean, it's just ridiculous. When I go over in the Sunnyside, the mosquitoes are the worst. You know, most of the time you sit outside because, you know, it's just Sunnyside, you know, older black people, a lot of, you know, old-timey black people. So the people sit out on the porch. And so the mosquitoes out there are just horrendous. I've never seen anything like it in my whole entire life because of the drainage, the poor drainage system in that particular area where Houston has a pitiful drainage system all over, if you ask me. But, I mean, it's ridiculous. And so we have these three or four black men running for mayor. I'm not even really paying attention to these people because, in all honesty, I wasn't even going to vote until Aja. Oh, and Aja, if you can share that, what is it, that proposition, whatever, I can't think of the name of it.
Proposition 1.
But I'm going just to vote for that because those black men running for mayor, no. No, 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 because they have done absolutely nothing. Third Ward is being gentrified, which is a historic area in Houston, okay? Fifth Ward is on its way to being gentrified, so they're going to move all of those elderly black people out of there and start building the condos and the townhomes because Third Ward is right off of Midtown and downtown Houston. So they're expanding that. And then Martin Luther King Boulevard area, Martin Luther King Boulevard, which is South Park area in Houston, they're changing that into U of H area because U of H campus, University of Houston campus is in that area. So now these black people have been living over there all of that time in South Park, and you weren't interested in running a railway through there so that they can make it downtown and wherever else they want to go. But now that U of H is expanding and all of that, so now a rail system has been built so that the white people, so you know what happens when they put those rail systems in, so they're going to move the black folks out so that the white people can move right in so that they can have transportation to get to U of H and to downtown and not have to spend money driving like everybody else. They can just hop right on
like
that.
Like everybody else.
They can hop right on that. They do the same thing in Memphis. They can hop right on that little rail and make it down there. Don't have to spend any money on gas and all of this crap like I have to do. I have to spend sometimes $60, $100 a week in gas just getting around here in Houston because Houston's so damn big. So, I mean, you can go broke if you don't have a pretty decent income in Houston. You can go broke just damn it, trying to get to damn work. Because, you know, you have to live in the quadrant in which you work. So, but anyway, I said all of that just to say I'm just sick of these people. And they do, like Charlie Rangel and all of these other folks, they just sit up and watch the communities become gentrified, and then nothing's done. And, I mean, what happens? I mean, Sheila Jackson Lee, she only comes around when it's time for a photo op. To me, she could do a lot
right,
more than
right.
what she's doing. She could do a lot
we
more.
We had the
like
same thing up here on Arjun on Black Rose, the same damn thing with Eve Bernice Johnson, the same crap. The only time they come around, when they want to tell you, okay, you know, it's election time, they don't want to be packing your churches and everything else, and so I'm trying to tell you to get out the vote. They're sorry
yeah.
to tell.
Sorry. They sorry. Asha, share with us that proposition, and then Mother Hattie, if you're able to, and if you're not, I'll pull it up on my computer.
No, I have it now. I'm ready.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, Asha, can you just share with us? All right, we'll let Asha do the proposition, and
okay.
then if you can read the statement, and then we can take some closing comments.
Okay.
You want to just
we have
on that prop?
Yes. We have a gay mayor, and she's in her second term. And as we said before, certain people in office, they will get done what they want to for their people, unlike our president. But she has managed to get a lot of rights done, passed for the gay community. Now, up for this next voting session, there's a proposition that we have to vote for, which is basically saying that if a person feels like they are a woman, if they think that they are a woman, then they should be able to go into the women's restroom and to the women's locker room, regardless of whether they're a man or not. But if they feel in their minds that they are a woman, then they should be welcome. But the way the proposition is written, it starts out with, do you vote for equal rights for all people, blah, blah, blah. So if you don't take the time to read, a person is just going to go in there automatically and say, oh, yeah, I want rights for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, then it says, this includes people who feel that they are, you know, they don't say they're women. They just said something, and I don't have it right in front of me, but orientation, self-orientation, however you consider yourself, your orientation.
It's City of Houston Anti-Discrimination Hero Veto Referendum Proposition 1.
Go to the very bottom.
Go
to the very bottom.
Mm-hmm. This stuff is getting serious. I never thought in my wildest reason, living in the South as I did in Georgia, that the gay movement would have took over in Georgia. Now moving to Texas, I never thought that it would have taken over
Texas.
In Texas.
Because can you believe it?
People are upstanding. But you know, it's like it's a disease, a virus that's just running through the country.
All over. Mm-hmm. All over.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
It says, are you in favor of the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance number 2014-530, which prohibits discrimination in city employment? There's some music or something going on. Discrimination in city employment and city services, city contracts, public accommodations, private employment, and housing based on an individual's sex, race, color, ethnicity, national origin, age, familiar status, marital status, military status, religion, disability, sexual orientation, genetic information, gender identity, or pregnancy. So that's the proposition. So there are signs in Houston posted that are instructing people to vote no on this. I can say that the Negro preachers here, they did come out and educate people on this proposition. And Mayor Anise Parker, she even had their sermons subpoenaed and all of this stuff just so she could been saying and telling the congregation and all of this craziness. And So they did come out, and I mean, it's just like been a huge controversy here. And I feel that people should have their equal rights and all of that. But all of this men being able to go into a women's bathroom because you, I'm Judy today, I'm not James. You can still go in there and rape somebody. That's very problematic, and I just don't agree with it. And I think that it's something that we do need to vote no on. I'm voting no. Let me just say that. I'm voting no on it because I am a woman, and I have to go into that bathroom, and I don't want to be in the bathroom with some damn man and they're ready to rape all the women and children in the bathroom. No.
I agree with you.
This also includes the locker rooms. This also includes locker rooms.
Yeah, locker rooms.
This happens in the school because these children, even in your children going to these regular schools, because I remember a friend of mine told me about her daughter, and this was about 5 years ago, where her daughter had the same issue in high school where they had these gender confusion that these children could just come and wake up one day and just said, you know, I am no longer a girl. I can take my breasts down. I'm a boy, and I could be able to go and use the damn boys' bathroom. No, you see, these are the crazy, confusing things that we have going on in these public sector, which is why we've got to get our children out of this environment.
Exactly.
Good grief.
I always say that, Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah. We have to get our children out of this environment. I agree.
We've got to get them out, and you know, and that's why I keep telling me over and over again, because I am not going to use a bathroom. If it's an individual stall and I go up in there and I lock my door and I do my business and I walk out, then that's fine. But if you got these open bathrooms and you go up in there and you see somebody gonna go up to the commode and just stand up there and be standing up, there's a problem. That's very traumatic for some people with children. You got small children and you up in there with your children and see somebody standing up there peeing standing up. And it's dressed like a woman.
Exactly.
Look, I was in Marshall's about 2 days ago, and you know, and what's making it so bad, ladies, is these black faggots. These black faggots and these black dykes will get on my damn nerves. Because I was in Marshall's two nights ago, I saw this big, tall, black faggot, man. Because he was over 6 feet tall. I just looked at this from the back, and I know it was a man with his crazy blonde wig on his head, looking like Shemaine. Had on a mini skirt, you know, them damn socks that you wear, them knee-high socks that you used to wear back in them days. Had on some knee-high socks, some boots. I guess he had punk rock and every doggone thing in the cheerleader. I was in all confused.
Oh my Lord.
I'm looking at him and I'm just saying, let me get the hell on up out of here. Because these black ones, you know, they're really and truly getting, because you know when black people get into stuff, we tend to go overboard. And he was
overboard.
Completely. Mother Hattie, you have the statement to read for us?
Yes.
Ooh, wonderful. All right.
Okay.
This
is a working statement from Women United regarding the attacks on black women such as Rakia Boyd, Ayanna Stanley Jones, Sandra Bland, and many others. Women United denounce and detest the vicious attacks on black women we have been historically plagued with, and it seems to have escalated in more recent times. We are 100% human beings and deserve to be protected with equal justice under the law and other entities. The recent vicious behavior and disrespect of the lives of black women must stop. These are unconscionable, deplorable acts and actions occurring in a country that considers itself to be civil and democratic. A plan of action must be adopted and implemented immediately to stop the terror on black women. Women United is placing a call to action for all women groups, organizations, men and individuals to rectify these crimes against the humanity of the black woman. To make your statement and to act to protect the humanity of our sisters, contact Women United at women.united7777@gmail.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother Hattie. And you're going to be having a series on your show starting this week. Tuesday. Would you like to share that?
Yes. We are going to be talking about reparations, the origins of reparations, And that'll start Tuesday, and it's only 30 minutes, so get in there and give us a call over at Block Talk Radio. And that's what we'll be doing. And we'll do that series on several other individuals other than Dr. Robert Brock to see where it started, where it is now. That'll be great.
Yeah. I think we're also going to examine Marcus Garvey's position on reparations. And it was Dr. Robert Brock and Claude Anderson, and I want to say one other person.
There was one other for the following week. So each person per week. We're going to start with Dr. Brock because he made his transition. And he will be having a memorial service at October 23rd in Santa Ana, California. And I'll give you the church later. I don't have that church right now. It's some Baptist church there.
Okay. All right. And I think I'll play some clips from Dr. Brock on Wednesday. I didn't get a chance. I think we may have a little time for me to play this one clip of Dr.
Clark.
Let's go
with Dr. Clark. Yes, please.
Yes, okay. So we have about 15 minutes. Does anyone have any closing comments? And then I'll play this clip with Dr. Clark. Let me see. Aja, you have any closing comments?
No, I don't. It's been a very informative show. Thank you so much for all your information that you shared, Chet. I've learned so much, as I always do with you, because you keep up on what's going on and what they're doing as we look the other way. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mother Hattie?
Yes.
Closing comments? Do you have anything else you'd like to share, final comments?
Well, that's it. We have to keep talking. We have to keep educating anybody, one at a time, two at a time, have venues where we can keep educating ourselves and our others so that we will know what's going on and come up with solutions. Don't want to be caught off guard.
And we want to be proactive instead of reactive.
Exactly.
As we always are.
Mm-hmm.
And be proactive. Indeed. Sarah, did we lose her? No, there's Sarah. Sarah, you still with us?
Yes, ladies. And thanks a lot, Aja, for bringing up that referendum that's on the ballot. I think there's anything that we can do as a people is look on the local level, because this is where we can affect the most change, because these things that are being put on the ballot, we have a much shorter reach, and we can stop them from being implemented. So as you're talking about this gender confusion referendum, in every area that you're in, we need to check on those things and see what's new that they're getting ready to do, such as rezoning, redistricting, and where we can get down there. Get a group of us. Don't go by ourselves, because one person is not going to stop anything. Get a group, inform them, and just go on down there and stop these things from affecting us. We can't do nothing on the federal level. That horse has been left the barn, but we can control our local level.
Uh-huh. That's right. I think our early voting starts on the 19th, I think. And whatever day it starts, I know I'll be there voting no. If I don't punch or press anything else, I will be punching and pressing on that one. And that's
I will, too. I will, too.
Yeah, we're getting up going early in the morning. Most definitely. Getting that little vote in. I don't like that one.
Check your polling places, too. Check in advance to make sure they don't switch your polling places. Because a lot of times they're trying to be sneaky and say, okay, well, you show up there, your polling station is no longer where you've always been. So do that
right.
You don't get confused when you show up.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And that's why I always like to early vote, too, just in case it's any kind of problem.
Gives you plenty of time to go here and there.
Yes. Certainly do. In fact, I learned that from my mom. She would always get up and go early in the morning and go and vote, and drag
before work.
Clothing clothes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so I'm going to play this clip with Dr. Clark on Farrakhan, and I just want to thank everyone. I thank you, Aja. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Mother Hattie, King B. Thank you, Scotty, for the program, and then thank you, listeners. We lost Delta, and I sure wanted Delta to be on because, you know, Delta was just super, super thrilled about Farrakhan and the rally. You know, Delta just now getting hip to Farrakhan, so she was... she loving Farrakhan stuff. So, you know,
I'm going to say this. Minister Farrakhan does come up with some real good information in his Final Call magazine. I love it.
Yeah, yes, he does.
I love that magazine.
Oh, yeah, you know, and Farrakhan, he puts it down. You know, I kind of stuff, and I give him his props. You know, he says some things, you know, but it's, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Time
for leadership. You know, he's been on the scene long enough, he needs to get ready to pass that back on. Move on.
Yeah, because I'll say this, and then I'm going to go ahead on and play this clip, because what disappoints me is, and I've mentioned this before, I know it's mosque number 9 or whatever that's in Memphis. Hell, it's on vans in a neighborhood that's known for prostitution and drugs, and the prostitution and drugs have been there since before I was born, and they're still there. And I left Memphis several times, come back, left again, and it's still the same, still look the same, everything's still the same. Crack house, meth house, prostitution house, whole house, drug house, all of that is still the same. So I'm like, so, I mean, what are you doing to really reach out? Now, I can also say the same thing, Bishop G.E. Patterson Church, right there in the same neighborhood, right there in the same community, they didn't do anything either. So, you know, that's why it's like, look, you talk about these mosques and the churches, right here in these poor communities, and nothing is being done. Nothing is being done. So, anyway, let me play this clip. Thank you, everyone. Peace and good night, and we'll be back on Wednesday. Namaste.
Thank you very much. I'm more fortunate than most people. I have already lived, and I'm old enough and secure enough not to get angry because people don't like what I'm going to say. At least a month before the march, I was one of the first people to say that the march was a ceremony, a waste of time, and a Farrakhan con game. I said it because I know Farrakhan, and I know other con games that he's played. My remarks will be centered around Farrakhan, a faker, Melana Karenga, another faker, and the word atonement. I don't have to defend my political relationships because I have been a political left radical for most of my life, and I have been a severe critic of the left for most of my life, for which I have no apologies. Now, the Million Man March was an achievement for who and for what? Anytime you gather that many people together and the speeches last 4 and 5 hours and you do not bring Africa in focus in relationship to the African people of the world, you are out of order. You might as well talk about a child without talking about its mother and its father. Now, let's look at the intent of Farrakhan, and let's look at a serious disease in our community that plagues Farrakhan as well as others, and that is ego starvation. We are lacking in a special kind of stoking that makes us secure. Let's look at the fact that Malcolm X was the tutor of Farrakhan, and he turned on Malcolm X and said that Malcolm X was a traitor to the nation, and the nation had a right to punish him. Now, can you trust in leadership, people who would turn on a friend? I have said many times, if Farrakhan would sell one of his stretch limousines, he could send a black student through medical school. You have gathered to aggrandize a faker who is not accountable to you for anything. He has not accounted to you for the $5 million he got from Libya. Libya is part of the fundamentalist Arab clique who wants to Islamize Africa or destroy it. Who congratulated him after the march? Libya and a high politician from Iran. Libya has been instigating to move to the south into the great corridor that is Sudan. If you take the Sudan, that corridor gives you a straight shot into South Africa, and Libya will join the whites to reconquer Africa. They have no compunction about it because they do not think of themselves as an African people, and like all conquerors, they declared war on all forms of African culture. Because Farrakhan belongs to fundamentalist and reactionary Islam, he knows nothing about revolutionary Islam, that is African Islam. In Arab Islam, no woman ever held state power. In African Islam, women not only held state power, but in African Islam, women are the masters of the marketplace. Go to West Africa right now. Most of the concessions are controlled by women. Go to East Africa where you find African Islam. It's man controlled. Because the Arabs destroyed the matrilineal and installed the patrilineal. Farrakhan has not answered to us for some things we should have obviously asked some questions about. After the Million Man March, the Caribbean News had a headline hailing the march in the triumph of the West Indian Farrakhan. How did Farrakhan suddenly become a West Indian? He wasn't born there. Why are you emphasizing his West Indianness now? He ain't got no West Indian support. Why did you let Farrakhan get away with saying repeatedly the slave ship stopped in the West Indies and left the strong ones and brought the weaker ones over here, which is a lie, which proves he has no knowledge of how the slave ships, the slave trade operates. Why don't you know enough about your history to know how this trade operated? After the American Yankee Clipper outran the British man of war, And slavery was a New England business, not a Southern business. The Southerners bought their slaves from the New Englanders. After that, American ships went straight to Africa, picked up the slaves, came straight back to the United States. You cannot separate slaves based on who was brave and who was not brave. The slave revolts in the Caribbean islands were more successful, had nothing to do with bravery. It had to do with an incident in history which neither one of us had anything to do with. The maintenance of culture continuity. Slaves, buyers in the Caribbean bought in large lots and kept the lots together. They thought they could work better that way, but they forgot they could revolt better that way. In the Caribbean islands, the slaves in the house related to the slaves in the field. In the United States, because they bought in small lots and broke them out, the slave in the house had no relationship to the slave in the field, and the slave in the house would betray the slave in the field. This had nothing to do with bravery. It had to do with culture continuity. There are good books on the subject, but fine Caribbean actor means writers, especially Eric Williams and C.L.R. James. So what is he talking? Distorting history? And he get away with it because you don't know history. In a speech made right here in New York, Farrakhan bought the story of the curse and said, and I've got it on tape, I got it in video, and I got it on audio, that people with dark skin and woolly hair, a certain kind of nose, was cursed. And that the texture of your hair and the texture of your eyebrows are supposed to be the same. He's saying with his high yellow self that he is pretty and blessed by God.